We're in Genesis chapter 21 as we close off our time in the life of the book of Genesis. Excuse me, the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis. Next week, Carl Miller will be preaching. It's likely his last Sunday he'll be able to be with you. So it'll be a special time for him to preach and say goodbye as they move on to New Braunfels. Then in 2 weeks, we will be starting a new series in the book of 1 Peter. So if you want to prepare for that, you want to read it ahead, that's the book. But for now, we're in Genesis 21, the first seven verses, and please give your attention to God's inspired and holy word. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Congregation, for around 6 months now, we have walked through the life of Abraham. We have followed him from when he first became a believer, when God appeared to him in his country of Mesopotamia. He was worshiping idols. The Lord appeared to him, called him to himself. Abraham became a believer, and God told him to follow me to a new land, the land of Canaan, that God would one day give him as well as his descendants. He would have children, even though at that point, they had no children. And so Abraham believed God. He followed him. He understood that this was a promise that pictured the coming of the Messiah, which he knew from Genesis 3 was promised. And so Abraham, with his wife, leave their relatives, only taking one nephew with them, and they work their way to Canaan. And then we heard and read about Abraham's life as a believer, all the highs and lows of walking with the Lord. We've seen the lows. Sometimes he would fail to trust the Lord. We remember how when the food was scarce, he went down to Egypt. He denied Sarah was his wife, putting her in danger. And God rescued him from his foolishness and lack of faith. And we saw a few weeks ago how Abraham could not believe as he got older that he would have a son with Sarah. And so he had relations with his slave Hagar, made a complete mess of things in his family by not trusting the Lord. And so we've seen his lows. There are some others we really haven't had time to go through. We've also seen his faith in shining moments. We've seen his generosity when he offered Lot the best part of the land, knowing God would take care of him, whatever Lot chose. We saw him bravely rescue Lot from the eastern nations that had kidnapped him. We saw him give honor to Melchizedek, a priest, someone in the ministry. Abraham gives a tenth of all. We saw him refuse the king of Sodom's offer that the king would be the one to provide for Abraham. Abraham wanted everyone to know the Lord would provide. And so he refuses both honor and much riches. And then we saw last time that Abraham receives the sign of circumcision. And here in our passage, he circumcises himself first, and then his household, and then when Isaac's born, Isaac. That's a declaration of Abraham's faith. He does believe in God and his promise. And so in the New Testament, the Bible tells us to look at Abraham as a believer like us, that he walked before the Lord, he was called to God, and we see what the Christian life then is like. It's filled with highs and it's filled with lows. Sometimes we have a lot of faith. Sometimes we have very little faith. Sometimes we have Christian energy, and we're ready to serve and trust the Lord. And sometimes we find ourselves with very little energy, and it's difficult to serve and trust the Lord. Abraham is an example of what the Christian life is like. But through Abraham's highs and lows, what do we see? God is always there. His promises do not change. They are not dependent on Abraham, how he's doing that week or even that year. God made a promise, and he would fulfill it by grace. So in chapter 21, where we are at now, Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90. That means it's been 25 years since God first promised a child. I want you to think about that. 25 years. How long have you been praying for something? 25 years they've been waiting for God to do what he said he would do. Think of dear Sarah's life during this time, having to leave her relatives, all the tension between her and Abraham, watching everyone else around her bear children where she could not, and play with their children, waiting 25 years for anything to happen that they had hoped. So we learn more about the Christian life, don't we? That God is not a microwave God, that he generally moves very slowly. And the Christian life, as is the cliche says, is a marathon. It is not a sprint. God takes his time, and because God takes his time, things can seem very difficult, and we wait a long time for things. But given all that, we finally come to chapter 21, and chapter 21 reads like heaven. The waiting is over. A son is finally born after all the waiting. The promise is fulfilled. Now all the loneliness, all the doubts, all the arguments, everything is worth it as God has arrived and brought about the promise. Now the glory of this passage is also in the way it is written. Notice how it begins. God visited Sarah. That word for visit in the Hebrew, that's the first time in the Bible this word is used. It could have said God simply made Sarah conceive or gave her a child, as elsewhere in the Bible. But this is a very special word, very rarely used in the Bible. When God visits, it's either for salvation or judgment. For example, we would not see this word used again until Israel was enslaved. And it said God heard them and visited them and brought them out of Egypt. Now, sometimes God visits when he's about to bring judgment on a nation. It'll use that word. But usually it's in salvation. God is saving. He's rescuing. He's bringing about a promise. So we have this wonderful saying, God visited her. Now, the context is her conception. God visits her so she can conceive because naturally she was too old to bear a child. Now, it's not surprising that when we come to the New Testament, where do we see God visiting someone first again? Mary. God visits Mary, she conceives, to give birth to Jesus. And so you have to understand that Isaac's birth is a supernatural miracle. There is no natural way for them to bear children at 190 years old. And this miracle then was a demonstration that everything God promised would come true. If God can do this, then obviously he can do what seems so difficult. Give them the land of Canaan, even though the Canaanites were everywhere. Enable them to have many children and grandchildren, etc. Forgive their sins. Whatever God promised, this was proof that he could and would do it. So the glory in the passage is not only in the word visit, but notice also the threefold repetition in verse 1 and then 2. God visits and she conceived as he said. Notice verse 1. As he had said. Now go to the end of verse 1. As he had promised. Now verse 2. At the time which God had spoken to him. See that threefold repetition? It's saying God did this just as he said, just as he promised. The glory of God being true to his word comes out by repeating it three times. And so God forgives our sins when we believe just as he promised. That's the point. God loves you in Christ just as he said he would. We need to keep hearing that. When God says it, it's as good as gold. And that's the idea. In verse 1, all this because God is gracious. Abraham and Sarah were saved by grace. Everything God gives them is by grace. Isaac is born by God's grace. They did not earn it. They did not do anything for it. It was a promise of grace. Now, the rest of the passage, this passage is obviously divided into two, what God did, and then Abraham and Sarah's response to it. And so first is Abraham's response, and then Sarah's response. Abraham's first response is he names his son Laughter. Now, we know that's a play on words, because a year ago when God said they would bear children in their old age, what happened? They laughed. Sarah laughs, but it was a laugh of incredibility, of doubt. How can a person this old bear children? That was naturally, that's a good question. But with God, that's a limited question. And so Abraham remembers that, but now it's a laugh of joy. So he names him Isaac, really to say joy. God has brought about joy from doubt, joy from the wrong laughter. He circumcised Isaac, as we said last week, if you were here. When you circumcise your son, you are putting a sign on him which says, we are sinners, we deserve to be cut off from God, but God will do the cutting as he sends someone, a deliverer, to be cut off for us. And he's dedicating himself to teach this to Isaac, that Isaac would know the way of salvation. Now in verse 5, we have a reminder, again, of the miraculous. By the way, if you're not following, Abraham was 100 years old. Are you getting this was a glorious miracle? This wasn't a natural birth. Now we go from Abraham's response to Sarah's in verses 6 and 7. She also laughs, which of course is an ironic thing because her laughter is the one that doubted God. Now it's a laugh of joy. And she considers then the joy of everyone around her. What is it going to be like when people, my friends, people in the area all come and they see that this old lady has a son that I'm nursing? Who would have thought, she said, that this could happen? Well, we know the answer to that, right? God thought it. He planned it. And he would do it. Her response is a lot like Matthew. Remember Matthew, the tax collector? He's a terrible traitor to his country. He cheats people all the time. Jesus approaches him, calls him to be an apostle. Matthew is forgiven of everything he's done. And what does he do? He holds a feast with all his friends to rejoice of what God has done for him. That's sort of what Sarah is doing. I can't wait to tell my friends what God has done. Wait till they come and see this miracle baby. You know, we sing hymns every Sunday. That's exactly what we're doing when we sing hymns. We are rejoicing that God has saved sinners like us. He has forgiven us. And now we rejoice together as we gather together and sing and say thank you. In a sense, we're saying like Sarah, who would believe that God would call someone like me to be his own? To give me forgiveness, eternal life. Let's get together and sing to God about that. And so as we look at Abraham's life, especially this section, that God visited them, we need to remember as Christians, we are those whom God has visited. He visits us twice, according to the Bible. He visits us once when he calls us to himself, just like he did Abraham. Now, you may not remember the exact time you were converted and you came to know the Lord. You don't have to remember it. But if you are a Christian, God visited you with salvation. He came to you. He called you to be his own. You responded in faith, and he claimed you as his. That was a glorious visit that God does for those he calls to himself. And so our response is like Abraham and Sarah. We rejoice. Who would have thought when Christ was on that cross and he was bearing guilt, he was thinking of me. That was my sin, my guilt he was bearing. Who would have thought God would love me like this? And so we get together and rejoice in that God has visited us. But then that word will be used again, and you know when. It's when Christ returns. He visits us again, and he fulfills all the promises that were already given, that we would be with him, that we would be free from sin, death, and sickness, and we would rejoice forever. That's what we look forward to. But between those two visits are those 25 years. And it may not be 25 for some of you, it may be 85, it may be shorter, but it's those years where you wait. It's that Abrahamic road of discipleship. It's the road, Jesus says, it's a difficult road, it's a narrow road, but it's the way to life. It's a road where we pray, and we don't always see answers right away. We don't put a piece of bread in the toaster, push a button and say, all right, where is it? I want all my problems resolved. That's not what happened with Abraham. Abraham waited and waited. And if you ever feel like your life is a series of waiting for things, that really is the Christian life. Most of the time we are waiting for God on something. So remember these 25 years of difficulty, of challenges, times when God seemed very far, and he wasn't answering, and he wasn't there. And all that time, God was still fulfilling his promise. Now, there were times Abraham needed to be rebuked. There were times he needed to be assured that God was with him. But all that time, God was there, and ultimately, even in their lows, God preserved them. They trusted, even in weakness, and they remained in the faith. And even that was a work of God. And so we are in that time. We are in our 25 years between our first visit and our second visit. We are waiting for that birth of Isaac, in a sense. During that time, what does God do to keep us? Well, he gives us his word, he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he gives us his church. We need a family to walk together. And so just like Sarah had a group around her to rejoice, we have a family together, because look around you. Next to you are brothers and sisters on the same difficult journey. They're walking a lonely road, and that's why we need each other. But here we have the promise. If Isaac can be born, then everything God promised, just as he said, would come true. And so brothers and sisters, don't expect everything in this life to be easy. It is a long and difficult journey to be a disciple of Christ. Do not grow weary and give up in doing good, in dealing with conflict, in waiting. Remember, there will be a time when God visits again, and everything will be worth it, all the waiting, all the tension, all the hardships. Because whether you're dead or alive, we will be raised to be with our Savior, and we will rejoice together in the end. Amen. Let's pray.